This week on The Droids, we're talking Jedi Survivor, our first impressions of the brand new Star Wars game. Where are you spending most of your time? Is it on Koba? Might be Koba, I think so far. And we're talking about May 4th. What did we do for May 4th? We want to know what you did for May 4th. All that and more on The Droids.
These are the droids you're looking for. These are the droids.
I'm no one.
There's always a bigger fish.
Hello there.
Rebellions are built on hope.
We are. You want a throne here?
Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris and Ryan, I am Mike, and it's not a wake-up with Mando, but it's still a wake-up with the droids. I don't have catchy intro here or anything, but wake-up
early morning in the sheets, after hours in the streets, you know?
Oh, boy. He was ready for
Koba.
It.
Koba Cabana.
I got up extra early so my voice would be ready. I got my coffee.
Yeah. Mm.
And,
you get to feel an excellent last episode about season 3 of The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear your energy levels. I could feel that coffee kicking in from start to finish. I like
it. Well, yeah, it is
kind of a.
So we historically have recorded at night.
It's good to go the opposite way of our energy levels drowning out.
It's like, yeah, like sometimes our usual thing was to record on a Thursday evening, and sometimes we'd start at 8:30, and by the end it was bedtime.
I could hear at one point you putting on one of those nightcaps.
Yeah, you can hear like I'm boiling water for like, my sleeping time.
You were Ebenezer in the full.
Yeah, exactly.
I was lighting my candle, ready to make the long trip.
I heard
up the
kind
stairs.
Of the squish of your water heating pad. You could put under your bed.
Yeah. Window open or closed tonight? No, I'm just finishing up the podcast.
Well, I think before we talk about Jedi Survivor, I need to know how you spent your May 4th, or even the week of May 4th, because I feel like it was a big week for Star Wars, especially with Return of the Jedi back in theaters.
Wow.
I did see a lot of people in Los Angeles posting about that, because I believe they were doing screenings at the El Capitan.
Ah, that's correct. Ooh. Did they not have, Chris, you, when the droids text thread mentioned that there was no Return of the Jedi in the New York City area?
I could not find it. I was looking, because I was... When I saw they were doing that, I didn't realize they were doing that until a few weeks ago. And I looked, I was in London, and I looked and I saw they had a screening. I was like, oh, awesome. And thinking there'd be one in New York. And then I saw one in London, but I did not see it I did not see it in New York, though.
Hmm. Well, did
Isn't
you go
that
to...
funny as New Yorkers were like, if they have it here, surely they
yeah,
have
I know.
It.
Yeah, we get like, sometimes we'll get a movie like 4 months in advance and be like, it'll be the only theater that ever shows it, but they won't show. Arguably, maybe one of the top 6 most popular movies of all time.
Well, and I posit it made almost $5 million, which put it at number 5 at the box office.
Oh, did it really?
Oh, yeah.
That's
amazing. Wow.
Wow.
You know, obviously, we knew Star Wars was going to have that staying power. I went on a Tuesday night. The crowd was far from lively. I was disappointed. It was 9 p.m. On a Tuesday in the suburbs of the city of Chicago. And, you know, the Star Wars logo presents itself. And your boy here goes, woohoo! And no one.
Oh, no.
Nothing. Just
oh,
just
my God.
Dead.
You had a bunch of people going there to boo the Ewoks.
I guess so. It was, strange.
It was the special edition, yes?
Yes, it was the special edition. So
you had the full musical number, everything.
We had the full musical number, which, you know, in memory, it is shorter than I realized. Like, in my memory, I thought it was really, really long.
Yeah.
It's does robust.
Feel long.
Yeah. But it is, you know,
It's part of the movie now.
Let me ask you this. Is it the special edition that's on the most recent release?
Yes.
Or was it the special? Oh, it was.
With the
like
double nose?
Was it like a repurposed theatrical version then? It's pretty unique.
No. It's the same. It's the most recent version of what's on Disney Plus where Vader goes.
Okay, well, that's
Vader
still
goes,
pretty cool because the last version to be in theaters was... The special edition before those changes. So Han, Greedo, they're not even in this one.
No, you do get McClunky. McClunky was in
that's
one.
Right. McClunky is a
McClunky for whatever reason is in this one. And
wait, what way is McClunky tied into this one?
McClunky was the line that was added in the Disney Plus Return of the Jedi update, where it's right before Han. Well, before Greedo shoots, he says, McClunky.
Wait, but that's in New Hope. Where is it in Return of the Jedi?
Oh, what am I talking about? Yeah,
yeah, that's why.
Yeah, you
what
know
are
what
any you guys talking about?
Are they little kids in this one?
You know what? They blended together in my head because I watched all three. Obviously, you know, if I was going to see Return of the Jedi.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but thank you, Ryan. You got me.
You said I need to know. I need to refresh what's going on when this one opens.
Mike, maybe is that why the theater was the theater silent because you yelled McClunky when the movie started?
I thought you were going to say, Chris, was the theater silent because you were just in your basement and you didn't go to the theater?
No, they sensed when Mike was shouting, they sensed they might have, when he was shouting McClunky, they thought they might have a wild card.
They're worried.
Well, everybody keep cool.
When Luke came on screen, did you yell, "That's my dad"? That's my dad.
No, I said, "That's my daddy."
That's my daddy.
But I wanted to rewatch because every time, I mean, I haven't done the full trilogy in a while, and so I wanted to just rewatch it in general. And it's weird. I feel like it's getting more difficult because I've seen it so many times, and we're in an era of like our attention spans being totally messed up by social media and algorithms that I'm like, I know it so well, I can't enjoy it as much as I did before because I've seen it so many times and my mind is like, well, what's next? And I felt weird. I was like, but once I was in the theater, when you're totally just caught up in it and it's on the big screen, it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm good.
Also, it's tough on a Tuesday night sometimes.
Well, Tuesday night was, I was surprised there was actually a pretty full theater. I've been to this theater.
I just mean energy level, if you've seen a movie a million times, it's tough. Yeah. You know, it's tough it's tough. We're old now.
I didn't have trouble with the movie on Tuesday night. It was more of watching on Disney Plus, watching the first two, having been like, I know every beat.
Yeah, I get that.
But so that was how I spent my week. But on May the 4th, my wonderful partner, she got some blue milk ingredients. Paid a pretty penny for them, I must say. And
imported from Orlando.
Well, I wish they were because it wasn't good. The Star Wars cookbook. No. They needed to import it from Orlando. They needed
interesting.
A better, I don't know if they want to keep the secret of what it actually is in Batuu, and that's why they didn't like give the real recipe. Because it was almond milk and it tasted like almond milk. It didn't really taste at all like the wonderful sugary mess that you get at Batuu.
Oh, I see.
I wonder, it's because the recipe for green milk is milk plus thyme. But blue milk, I don't know.
Milk plus clones.
We flew in a moof milker. That's what I did.
Some people say it's not real moof milk because it doesn't have lactate in it. Tell that to my moof.
Well, I think it's...
I like these early morning shows.
Tell that to my it's like when a comedian's doing one of those working it out specials.
Yeah,
exactly. Where they're like they pop in at a club. That's the vibe we have.
They pull out that old notebook with the rings on top.
Chris, tell us about your May 4th.
My May 4th, I went a little Lego crazy, I'd say.
Dollars wise or building wise?
Just building time, mental space.
And dollars.
And dollars, yes. Ultimately, yes, the dollars. I played some Jedi Survivor, really enjoying that, and we'll get into that. And then I have been doing these Lego Instagram stories where I build a little Lego piece by piece. But I decided to shoot a trailer in the spirit of Star Wars for my latest Lego, which is the Dagobah, Luke on Dagobah diorama set, which is pretty cool. It's honestly a little tedious to build. There's a lot of small pieces and like conflicting detail that just really hard to see. So it's taken me a little longer than I wanted. But so I decided that I was going to make a little trailer for this, and I've been building this the last couple days, and it's about 1,000 pieces. It's pretty
cool.
Chris,
you should say, in order to hide this from your partner, that you've been doing this only at night with the lights off.
Yeah, truly. And then I had to put a blanket around it so you don't hear the shuffle of the pieces. we enjoy building Legos, but this one I'm doing solo. Maybe we could post, this is just self-promotion, we'll post the little trailer. We could maybe put it on the Droids Instagram.
Yeah.
Get people hyped up. I mean, no one's seen that. Or I could give you a link to my website.
Chris,
you know, Mike, I'm really sick of Chris using the droids as a platform to promote his own personal
show. He does it all the time. Chris, when you open the box, did an Imperial officer appear and then look at you and look at your partner and say, Solo?
Solo.
No?
What? Wow, what a bad omen that would be if someone looked at you and your partner and said, Solo.
Solo. I said, what's your last name? And I said, I don't got one. Wait, I don't. What is that reference?
It's Solo. Solo.
A Star is that Wars in story? Solo?
It's in Solo. It's the way he gets his name.
Wait, his partner's not there, is it?
No.
No, but this imperial officer is predicting the future for you.
I was trying to set up. I was trying to set up your world of why you were building your Lego Solo because you had an imperial officer.
Oh, I get it.
When you explain the jokes this way, it just makes them better. Just makes them so much better.
It worked for me. It made it better for me. anyhow, so yeah, I've started building this thing. I had something I usually try to do on Star Wars Day. And then I started Star Wars Visions. But by the time I was done with building this Lego, I fell asleep. I did have episode. I threw on the TBS marathon. Got to have a little bit of that.
Yep.
There's something about the commercial breaks that make it kind of its own viewing experience.
Of course. It's always different watching something. You know other people are watching it.
It's kind of fun. Yeah, it's spaced out. And then the framing sometimes gets a little wonky. And then I was watching that, and then I put on episode one to kind of start my own marathon and just let that play in the background while I was throughout the workday. Pretty good. And then started episode two a little bit, and then got into the Lego stuff. So it was a Star Wars filled day. And then my partner wasn't Solo. She got me we bought a carrot cake. I don't know what carrots have to do with the Star Wars realm. We both decided that's what we wanted, and we put a little BB-8 on top of it.
There you go.
Made it our May 4th cake.
I like it. Ooh, May 4th cake. I don't know why I'm not doing that.
Yeah, right. That's what, it just felt appropriate.
Ryan, tell us about your May 4th.
I played Jedi Survivor a lot. I got up early, played Jedi Survivor, had to do work for work, and then after work, played Jedi Survivor also. Nothing big, ceremonial. I mean, like,
my partner
was very nice that she didn't complain that I was monopolizing the TV for like 6 hours.
to pray to Coruscant? Like, was there a direction that you could pray to Coruscant?
Yeah, it's whatever direction my TV is. it was wonderful. It was wonderful. In the morning, you know, I checked the websites, I checked the blogs, so if there was any deals that I wanted to partake in. It was mostly Lego stuff, and I don't want to... Mm-hmm. What if I got the last one, and then Chris couldn't get his?
Ooh, you know, wow.
Very upsetting.
The Millennium Falcon that's like, you know, 8,000 pieces or whatever was 13% off at Best Buy.
Oh. Wow.
So it was only... It was only $750.
Yeah, totally. The price of a small car.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I played a lot of Jedi Survivor. I'm having a great time with that game.
Well, we should jump right into Jedi Survivor. There's nothing else that I had come up. I obviously was saying I watched a lot. I wore my Andor sweatshirt, which just make me think, why is there so little Andor everything? You know, Heroes and Villains is a site that has like maybe 6 shirts and they're not very attractive. Disney Shop had a couple of things when Andor came out, but now they've got nothing.
Can you show me the Star Wars shirt that's really attractive?
It's a very good point. It's a very good point.
I'll tell you what, I was on a trip, humble brag vacation last week. And
you mean in London?
In London. And I was packing, and I like put my shirts in the bag, and I was like, I realized that I had, just by statistical grabbing shirts out of my drawer, I had grabbed 2 Star Wars shirts for 8 days, and like, but it was like what an impossible math puzzle. Like, no matter how many shirts I had, there was always going to be at least 2 Star Wars shirts.
And don't get me wrong, I have a ton of Star Wars shirts as well. I never think like, hey. Like, I never wear my Star Wars shirts and then look in the mirror and go, hey, looking good, buddy.
Yeah, right. You
know,
yeah,
I think there's a couple out there. You know, the one that became
well,
so
Well, Mike,
you got, like,
the coat and stuff. You go for the higher-end stuff.
You go, and you get the ones that are more, like, you could kind of get away with somebody going, like, I get it.
Yeah, well, so more, like, designer, like, subtle ones. I get the ones that, like, when you're, like, checking out at Target. They're next to the Snickers bars.
Yeah, that's a.
But that was actually that was the one I was going to reference. There's the red Millennium Falcon from Target that everybody, I mean, was everyone was wearing. It's
with the schematics.
Yeah, with the schematics.
Yeah,
I have that one.
Yeah, that
I
almost brought that.
It's a great looking shirt. It also fits well. You know, it drapes in all the right places.
Very nice material.
Oh yeah,
and you can get that. What's the promo code to get that at Target?
Chris, we really should work on our affiliate marketing. I think we could make a lot of money.
I think we should go straight to Target.
Yeah, Target exclusive podcast. we could. It was funny. At one point in the day, I started out with one Star Wars shirt. We did a walk, and it was humid out, and the shirt just felt uncomfortable, so I changed. Okay. And then when I came back upstairs, it was another. I was wearing my Rose bootleg Rebel shirt.
Let me ask you a question. How long were you on vacation?
6 days, 7 nights.
And you packed 8 shirts?
No, 7 days, 8 nights, I think. Yeah, I have the bonus shirt.
No. What I was going to say is that I always overpack shirts for exactly what you said. Yeah. It's like on vacation in the morning, sometimes you've walked 10 miles.
Yes.
Half of it has been through dirt. You don't know how.
Right.
You went on a hike you weren't planning. Yes. By the end, you don't have any shirts.
Yeah, you get a brief glimpse of a smell of your shirt, and then you're like,
And then it's got to sit in a bag for exactly. 7 days.
That's the horrible part.
And that's when you say you look at your shirt, and you're like, boy, I thought it smelled bad on the outside.
That's right. That's right.
Yes,
and that's why he's the king.
There it is. Wow. But yeah, so I came back up, and I did an outfit change. I had a Star Wars Day outfit change halfway through.
I respect it.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm wearing that shirt right now.
Let's get to Jedi Survivor. The last thing I wanted to say was Andor toys and everything don't exist. I wanted to get a B2, just one of the rolling droids from Andor, because Andor I love, and I love the droid. You can get a crappy Funko that doesn't roll around, or you can pay $70 for something that was only at the Disney parks that looks like junk. I'm just disappointed. Andor is the best thing to happen to Star Wars in 5 years since Last Jedi.
No toys.
And there's like nothing out there.
Ooh, maybe the toys will become legend then once they start.
I do think that they have like 3 or 4. I don't know if they have a Mon Mothma, but they do have a Cassian Andor with B2, and that combo is like a $70 Black Series figure. I'm like, I'm not spending that. I'm not doing that. It doesn't make sense.
Today.
Yeah.
But you will.
Well, when I have a few drinks tonight, I will.
Yeah.
Spend
you spend 70, you know, now or 180 in 2 years when it's.
Well,
when
you're
it's
right.
Hard,
or you could just buy the adult version of the X-Wing when you get drunk on a Tuesday night, like I did.
Yeah,
and now I've got that coming that I'm going to have to pay for because, oof, that was a mistake. Yikes.
Is this relatable? If any kids are listening that are like in their early teens and they're just like, I need to ask for everything. One day, maybe you could just drunkenly buy your own toys.
Yeah, wait for that day.
Living the dream, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow. All right, well, Jedi Survivor, it is the sequel to what many would say was a game that came out several years ago, but for me, I only finished 6 months ago.
Many might say that, yeah.
Jedi Fallen Order, I just finished it.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I finished it, 3 months ago? 4 months ago?
Cool.
That was I was asking you how you defeated was she the seventh sister? I can't remember.
Yeah, and I just said skills.
Yeah, and you meant skills, drop your skill level in the game and beat it that way. That's how I did it.
Oh. Right. I said maybe practice like Ryan does.
Oh, boy.
I guess we should say light spoilers. I don't know. Light spoilers. I mean, we're all at different points in the game, so I think I'm probably
early,
the furthest, but we're going to have to be careful. But there are light spoilers if you're going in completely blank.
And I would ask, Ryan, that you said there's a blockbuster moment in it. Please save that. I want to experience that when it comes up.
Right.
Yeah. But this is the Return of Cal Kestis. There was a interlude book that came out that none of us read, of course, or we read it. We're just never going to tell you about it.
No, I read it, but I'm not bringing any of that knowledge
to
this.
I choose not to speak about it as well. I also read it. But
clearly something happened to the crew of the Mantis because we start this game with them, all of them, 3 sheets to the wind across the galaxy. And so we see Cal on his own starting in Coruscant, and that's where we pick up the game. But I have to say I'm having so much fun playing this so far.
It's really good.
Yeah. The mechanics have taken a step level up. The violence has taken a step level up. There's a lot of limbs going flying around.
Which that's that next gen console stuff.
Yeah. That searing technology.
Where is everyone in it? Chris, you said you just got to Kobo.
I'm in the forest.
So that basically means you turned it on.
Cobo Cabana.
I'm in the forest array at the moment.
You're in the forest array, but you haven't finished the forest array yet.
No, no. It took me a minute. I ran all the way around the other side of where that big entrance was to the forest array because I thought that I couldn't get across. So I went the wrong way and spent like 2 hours of gameplay in the wrong place. So
I think that I really liked the first one. I think that this one is better in almost every capacity. Yeah. It feels so much more refined from like almost every level. One of the things that they do, which I actually like, though I understand it can be frustrating based on our texts, is that they kind of they don't give super clear. They don't break the aesthetic of the world as much as possible to give clear indicators of like where you should go.
I've noticed this from the start, and sometimes things look the same as other things. It's almost like the world is too detailed and too real, as if you were there and you couldn't recognize like, oh, hey, that formation of the rocks or something like that. I've run in circles many times or just like stood still many times to be like, I didn't know I could jump on this. Well, I think I texted you, Ryan.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you get on top? There's a platform that was like raining down.
Right.
I almost gave up on the game.
I ultimately find it rewarding because it makes it feel like you've like actually solved the puzzle.
Yeah, exactly.
There's kind of a thing in games right now to just be like where you're supposed to go, just like paint it yellow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or put like a little flash or a shimmer on it or something.
Yeah. And there is that in this game. You can actually turn it up and down, which is interesting.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't know that.
Like, a lot of, you know, the hint system that you could turn it up and down.
Oh, I got to crank
that
up.
Oh, that's interesting. I was trying to use a hint, and then I was like, oh, it's not working at all. I'm just petting BD.
Difficulty. What difficulty is everyone playing at?
I started on Jedi Master, which is a notch above the default, and then because I was like, yeah, I'm gonna play on Jedi Master. And then I ultimately turned it down. I found that the default difficulty pushes back plenty if you're looking for a challenge.
Right. And you can switch it throughout the game, right?
Yes,
you
don't have to. Absolutely. Like if you get stuck on a boss, you could turn it down or whatever. But I'm playing on Jedi Knight, which I believe is the default difficulty.
Yeah, that's where I'm playing at Jedi Knight as well. But there's two levels below Jedi Knight. It's not like
That's where I'm at. Like, I'm Padawan, and I'm. I'll be honest. I'm still having trouble with it. It is. I don't know what it is. I can't parry. I can't. Well, I feel like also they kind of take away some of the abilities in those two lower levels, which I think sometimes makes it more difficult.
Oh, like, really?
They've kind of nerfed the parry mechanic a little bit. And so when I was fighting one of the first bosses on Coruscant, the Ninth Sister, I believe, it was really hard to like dodge attacks from like a lightsaber standpoint. It had to like jump dodge everything.
This sounds suspect.
But it could have also been my gameplay style. And my
joystick. I just play a different way.
And my joystick was also broken on my PS5 controller.
So. Oh, my God. The critical information you leave out of these things. Also, I was playing with a banana.
It was on my iPhone.
The game pushes back. It really does. I will say that there is like, maybe this isn't a flaw. I'm probably about 10 or 12 hours in at this point, and I feel like I just started getting some enemy like parry timing. Expanding on the fact that environmentally they don't indicate a lot to you, there's not super huge indications of when you're supposed to parry for some enemies. So that takes
more challenging the enemy, the more difficult it is to judge when to parry.
Yes, which is, you know, everything's a Dark Souls light now, which I like. But yeah, there are some enemies. There's like a raider. You'll come across like a raider with a giant hammer, and they have both very slow and very fast attacks, and it's difficult. But when you land it with like the sound effect, they've done such a good job of like
making it satisfying.
You know, you jump into a group of enemies, and you're like you're being challenged very much, and you parry one, slice them in half, and then finish them off by deflecting a laser bolt into two guys.
You feel like
a
Jedi.
Really satisfying.
Yeah. That's cool. So let me ask you this. When you do the parry thing, is there some kind of indicator that will let you know, or you actually have to physically follow their
actions? The thing that, like, I can tell you is that, like, you will know because there's a combination of sound effect and probably haptic feedback that I'm not reading. And then think a visual slight slowdown. There's, like, these very good design choices that it just feels right.
Yeah.
Okay. Where, as a Star Wars fan, you're just like, that connected correctly.
That's how I wanted it. Yeah. That
yeah.
makes sense.
So it just feels right. Where you're like, oh, I did it.
It's very telegraphed with some lesser enemies. When you're talking about, like, the electrified baton of some of the stormtroopers.
Yeah. Yes.
They have their slow build to, like, come at you, and that's easy to parry. But it's not as much as you go. So, but one thing I did find, some of the minor bosses, like the one, I think the Raider that you were talking about, after you try to get into Grease's cantina, I was able to dispatch them so much more easily than in the previous game. Like, I feel like you get minor bosses in the previous game that are just as difficult as major bosses.
Right.
And this, I was like, wow, I got like 4 hits in and that guy's done.
I've noticed sometimes with a game like this, it also depends on, like, the rhythm that you approach the boss too. Like, sometimes you're just, like, off and the boss just wrecks you. Well, that's me.
That just happened to me this morning. I played a big boss this morning, and this is taken in a good way from Souls games, where you just really, like you said, Chris, you really need to adjust your rhythm. Where I was like, I was trying to come at this morning, it was that the fight was much slower paced than I went in thinking it was. I needed to be more patient, as opposed to being like, oh, they're going to be flying at me, I'm going to be flying at them, and then, like, you know, one of us shall emerge victorious.
Right. I think that's my issue with a lot of these games, is that I try to rush through. So, like, I'll cheese these guys where I'm just like, if I can hit them in the leg and run around in a circle, hit them in the leg again, I'll do that for hours.
And I enjoy this as, like, as a video game player. I hate saying the word gamer. I enjoy that they, like, they challenge it that way.
Yeah, they made it hard. Yeah.
You get in and you have to adjust things and see where it's going. I think it's really satisfying. And also, you know, have you guys, Chris, I don't think you have. Mike, have you gotten into, like, stances yet?
Yes. And so, I have not explored actually trying them out as much as I should. I was like, I got the introduction to stances and I was like, okay, I'll come back to that later. And I should have done more.
So you mean, like, the double lightsaber, the dual wielding, the... He rides the lightsaber like a unicycle.
So they drastically alter play style. So the thing that I've found interesting, and I guess this is a minor spoiler, I don't think there are 5 stances total that you eventually get. And it's interesting finding ways to balance them out based on situations. So essentially, you start with the double blade, which essentially is like the Darth Maul lightsaber, and then a single lightsaber. Yeah. And I'm not sure if you have the dual wield.
You have both at the beginning. You then have to switch to the actual broken 2 lightsabers, 1 in each hand.
Right.
That's the first stance that you get out of. But you had that in the last game. They just kind of teach you it again.
Right. Which got it.
For the most part, though, the game's really good at being like, they don't do the thing where it's like at the beginning you get stripped of everything you got from the last game.
It's
it kind of just builds on it, which
I love that.
Good.
Yeah, it's nice, and they also kind of add the new force abilities to kind of... He's still learning.
Yeah, but it's not like a thing. It's not like Metroid where it's like you start with everything and then it's like, they've hit me with the serum.
So
I mean, I love that we're getting the mind tricks. It's awesome. They didn't do that in the first game.
I was going to bring that up where... So I recently also played Force Unleashed 2, which I think is kind of like a spiritual precursor to these games, where it's kind of like, what if you had the Force and full control of it and that kind of thing. I think that game makes a little more arcade action out of it, where this game is a little more about the nuance. But one of the fun parts of Force Unleashed 2 was the mind tricks. And by the end of the game, if you focused your energy on those skills, you could do some really fun stuff. So I'm really hoping that element from that game is in this game, because you could just, like, basically have, like, armies of stormtroopers attacking things. It was really cool.
That's cool.
It's the variety, the enemy variety too is so there gets to a point where there are a lot of battle droids, like what we think of, like Roger battle droids. And dispatching those feel exactly how it should.
Yeah.
They're like one hit, they slice in half. I'm also done. I gotta say, I've laughed out loud several times at things that the battle droids have said.
There's a couple of lines on Koba that have been great.
They're legitimately funny because you'll hear them talking to each other as you're approaching, and that's funny. And then they'll say things when you destroy them that are equally funny. I could not believe. Like, there was one I force pushed it. Like, it was sitting there talking to itself, talking about getting a promotion, which I thought was so funny. And he's just standing alone, and then I force pushed him off a cliff before we even engaged, and he just screamed "not fair" as he was falling, which I just thought was dark. Hysterical and dark.
That's so awesome. Great.
Well, look, but, I'm going to give the tip of the hat to that writing. The fact that Koba is essentially a planet from Red Dead Redemption slash Western slash Country is driving me nuts. Dude, why do they just speak like they're on the fucking American West? I don't get it.
It's weird. It's a desert planet. This is a light spoiler. Do you want to know what your second planet you go to is?
Yeah, sure.
It's Jeddah, which is also a desert planet.
It's like a barren,
You know what? This is a video game. Why did they have to do what Mando was doing and spend all their time on the same planet? Well,
when we landed on Jeddah, I was like, I cannot believe. And it's good. It's good. And it is varied in different ways. But the base, like the hub part of it, you know, the game seemingly, I've only been to two planets at this point. I've been playing for a long time.
Yeah.
You go back and forth a lot, which is cool, actually. But you know, the way the game is kind of structured, if you don't know, is like there's going to be several open sections. It's not like completely open world, but you go to Koba and you can explore around a ton, and then
that's
you go to
like
Jeddah.
It's kind of like the Lego Star Wars game a little bit like that.
Right. So I'm assuming there will be multiple biomes and stuff like that, and that I'll probably end up going to more planets. But it is hysterical that the first two are barren desert planets. Koba is a little bit more lush, I suppose. But it was a little bit of a bummer that I was like, I can't believe I'm on another desert planet.
But also, I mean, what is going on with... It's called a saloon. Why are you not calling it a cantina? Did you just decide you
were
tired?
That is weird. That is odd.
Hell?
That's like the weird choices to say hack instead of splice. Like maybe Disney's like, we don't want to mess with our original cantina too much.
Funny because I found that I've been calling it the cantina, but you're right. On the map, it says saloon. Yeah,
but you have characters in it that you could take a line of dialogue out of it, and it could just be in any other Western rather than being Star Wars.
Star Wars, after all, is a Western.
Do you think that this game started out as a Western game, and they were like, we had all these things? Can we just change it to Star Wars?
It was like every Die Hard movie that it started as a different movie.
Right. And then they're just like, hey.
How do you, Chris, I don't know if you've encountered him, but how do you guys feel about Turgle?
Oh, boy.
He was a rock guy.
He was an interesting choice.
I have not seen him
yet. Is he voiced by Jon Favreau?
That I don't know. Turgle's fun, but also I think Turgle's hiding something.
Yeah. I also thought that Grease was leading us down into a trap when he told us to go through this.
Oh, no. Grease is a good guy. We like Grease.
I thought he was a good guy, but it was also, I thought that was going to be one of those situations where he's like, but look, the Raiders, they're really squeezing me here. I had to give you over to them. I didn't want to, but it didn't happen. So
Grease is like kind of the heart of the whole thing, honestly. Yeah. I got to be honest.
Yeah. Well, look,
This is no surprise. The team does get back together, and you know, you see everybody.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I did appreciate kind of the way the game started by giving you a little recap, and I also liked the flashback moments that you see that first time when you're on the ship. I thought that was kind of
when they're getting a little too much salt.
Yeah, exactly. It's an odd moment. It also, it kind of very bizarrely felt almost like an episode of Shameless when they all kind of.
I did think it was weird, like all of the graphic sex and.
Chris, does that mean are they on their way to a Chicago planet pretty soon?
Exactly, they're gonna go to that guy's bar.
Love it.
They have some kind of scheme.
So, you do see people from the first game, and I got to tell you. Ryguy's got a little crush on that Marin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's from Dathomir.
I can see
She's interesting. She's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm further in the character Bode has become more prominent and more interesting, because at first I was like, this guy? But also, I mean, like, Cal Kestis, no offense to, you know, anyone involved, is kind of like the king of this guy's.
Mm.
You know, this game I think is doing a better job, but after the last game, he is one of the least compelling Star Wars protagonists I've had the pleasure of seeing.
Some headline that said Star Wars has its next great protagonist in Cal Kestis. Like, this is one of the top three Star Wars protagonists. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that seems like recency bias. I mean, he's kind of like I think he is 100% more compelling in this game than he was in the last one, for sure. Right. And maybe that has to do with the fact that he could change his hair. I don't know.
I mean, it's good to have, but isn't it kind of the point that you kind of want a surrogate protagonist for a video game? Like, right? You don't want him to be too.
You want a blank slate of sorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it serves that purpose. To outside of the game, does that have legs? I don't believe so. I think the whole purpose is that you're putting your personality to him.
He's doing all these commercials with Mark Hamill, and I'm like, stop trying to make Cal Kestis happen.
Yeah, exactly. He's getting the Hamill blessing, where it's like, why is he in this commercial?
You know, I don't know, though. I feel like we might be just being a bit harsh, because, like, his lightsaber sells out like crazy at Disney World and Disney.
Oh, interesting.
There's a lot of new merchandise tied to Cal. Interesting. And people, you know, they're all about the poncho. All right. They're selling that poncho somewhere.
Do you think it's... I wonder if part of it, too, is kind of like, this is, video games in this sense are kind of like the novels or like the extended universe of Star Wars.
Chris, they're bigger. They're bigger than movies. They're bigger than
right.
Cal Kestis is a big deal, I'm sure.
Well, that's what I mean, but I feel like your average Star Wars fan, that's like the movie fan, might not know who Cal Kestis is, but there's a large group of people that are kind of like, if you know, you know, and they're like, oh, I got to get that, because that's kind of like the new It Star Wars kind of thing.
What's weird about it is that this game goes to such lengths to let you customize your lightsaber, insanely detailed ways. That what is Cal Kestis' lightsaber?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's well, apparently it's got some leather on the version they're selling.
Oh,
now,
man, so. Wouldn't it be cool if there's like a little QR code at the end of the game? You could scan it and you bring it to Disney World and they'll make it for you.
That's the next big idea.
Wow, there you go. Hey, hire me.
But yeah, I think they just did a great job of making the world feel more alive. I feel like they just took everything and refined it more.
Yeah.
And again, I liked the first one a lot. But this, I feel like the first one I liked, but had like reservations, where I was like, if this wasn't a Star Wars game, I'm not sure it'd be like super good. But this one feels legitimate. Like the mechanics, sometimes moving around, Chris, we've talked about this, is like still a little slippy slidey when he's running. But
sometimes you feel like you're driving a Buick on an icy road.
Yeah. But the platforming's really good. The battle, the combat feels really good. The level, every time I'm like, they're not going to make me do this, are they? They kind of don't. Like, every time you go deep into a cave looking for something and you uncover a new facial hair option for Cal.
right.
Like, I'm like, am I going to have to backtrack all the way back? And I'd say 90% of the time, it's like, no, here's a shortcut out.
Yeah, the shortcut thing is cool. And I mean, I think also something, they put you in some pretty perilous situations with the jumping and the wall climbing mechanics too, where it's like you have no safety net, which is a lot of fun. Sometimes the wall, these are the people that invented the wall jump, isn't it?
Respawn.
Yeah. Sometimes that gets a little tricky if you get the button off. It's always like, maybe my TV's broken. But,
but they also, the thing that is good, well, one, he climbs mercifully fast, which is so nice. In games, often when you like are climbing, the game stops dead. So that's great. The other thing is, with the PS5 load times, if you fall to your death, you're kind of respawn like just right back on the platform you fell off of and almost immediately.
Yeah, I've been impressed with the load times in general, just compared to the first game. It's been really a jarring difference, which has been great. But to your point of finding the facial hair, I love when there's like, oh, it's been thousands of years since anyone has been in this Jedi temple. Here's some facial hair that was in the canister waiting for you.
I heard on the Waypoint podcast, which is a video game podcast, and very unfortunately, Waypoint is being shuttered by Vice, which sucks. But they were talking about how you know, you open the map on this game and you're like, I haven't explored that place. And very rarely is the thing you get at the end of that, like, satisfying. It's usually like, here's another lightsaber hilt or like whatever. Yeah. And some people that's like huge. But the act of getting there is so fun that you just, it's fine. And also, like, I'd say they found some great balance. I'd say like one out of six times, it's like something good. Like it's an extra stim or it's like extra extra health
force,
or something.
Force
that it's enough
ability,
for you to be like, yeah, I'll go check it out.
I agree with you. The puzzles have seemed a little easier so far. I'm actually surprised. The puzzles seem more difficult in the first game.
Just wait.
Oh, good. Great.
I will say this. There have been a few that I haven't had to look anything up yet, but, and I'm very quick to do that. Like I'm not a person that's like, but there have been a few that have stumped me.
Ryan, I have a question for you. As an unabashed gamer, what'd you think of Coruscant? I just want to say
I am not reticent to say gamer because I don't feel comfortable playing video games. I play video games a lot. It's has this weird connotation to it now. I don't go on forums and complain about developers ruining PC performance. I don't care. How did I feel about Coruscant? I thought it was a really strong way to tutorialize the opening of a game. Yeah. Often, you know, when you, this has to be done every single game in the world. And when you're someone who plays a lot of games the way I do, it's like, you're just like, all right, like the first 2 hours is going to be like every 5 seconds, it's going to be like, use the right stick to control the camera, like things like that. I thought that this was a compelling way to do that version of this, where the opening on Coruscant is longer than I was expecting it to be. So it actually makes it more of a substantial kind of level in the game.
Yeah.
And I love Coruscant, of course.
Well, that's why I asked, because I know how much
you
love
Coruscant. Seeing the inner workings, you know, anytime you get to go backstage and see, like, this is the water treatment plant, I'm way in.
We should have a shirt that's like, I heart, and then two letters to represent Coruscant.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Over, okay. I think me and Mike were getting caught on the two letters part, but I guess.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, the I love New York.
Oh, you're going to see I love CT, so it'll be, oh, Connecticut. I love CR would feel like maybe Colorado.
Imagine wearing an I love Connecticut shirt. Wow. And I'm not saying, this is nothing against Connecticut. Chris, I know you're being careful.
Oh,
this is nothing against Connecticut, aside from their absolutely in terminable, like, who knows what's going on with the traffic patterns.
Ooh,
there.
Boy, I'm in a hot poodoo.
No, it's just it would be so funny. It, like, a whole state. I understand, like, when people wear I love New York, they're generally talking about the city.
Yes, exactly. Oh,
but someone just being like, I love Connecticut, you know, is a state. Yeah.
I think people are like, I love Montana all the time. Yeah, that's a thing.
That's Yellowstone, though, isn't it?
I lived in Connecticut for a spell, 3 months. You go. So yeah, you know, I take deep offense.
And your shirts? How many? What's the percentage of Star Wars to Connecticut shirts?
Yeah, I would say it's about 70% Connecticut shirts.
For every 8 shirts, 6 of them are Connecticut shirts, and 2 of them are Star Wars shirts. I don't know how. It's just the way the math works out. I thought that intro kind of, especially for me. I'm playing on Padawan. I thought that was good. I thought, oh wow, the game is. We're getting into it. It wasn't like a wasted thing. Also, visually, the game is gorgeous. Like,
it looks really good.
I think, why not start out? This is why we have Desert Planets the rest of the game, apparently, because they spend it all in Coruscant. Like, give us the goods right away. Let us forget about how good it looked, and then let's go back to something like that. So it was pretty cool. I think they did a good job explaining the control scheme. There is a lot going on.
Yeah.
Especially when you're fighting and then you're trying to do some of the mind tricks, and then the ability to kind of control your companion player as well, I think is there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
There's times where I'm like, I'll go to like level up or buy a skill or whatever and realize that there's an entire skill tree that I completely forgot.
Oh, there's
I had
so many.
I just started using the confuse ability a lot more, where you can make one or more enemies fight on your side.
Yeah.
And it is really upped my gameplay at this point.
No, I thought it was cool. I have had access and done it, but obviously my forcibility at this time only wears off very quickly. And it seems like you can only do it to very obviously weak-minded stormtroopers who can't have a lot of impact on who they're fighting. So it's kind of a nice novelty at this point in the game for me, and I look forward to it kind of growing.
It becomes huge. I just used it. There was like a bonus legendary beast that I had to fight, and there was two of them.
Oh, cool.
And so, I basically just made them fight each other, which now that I'm saying it sounds like gross. Sounds like dog fighting, but this is fake. This is not real.
Messed oh up. Boy, Ryan is the Michael Vick of a Star Wars video game.
But but I think that the villain, the diversity of enemies that you fight in terms of their abilities and stuff makes for really interesting strategic opportunities. Because I find that if you have a big group of enemies. You know, say you have like a stormtrooper, three regular stormtroopers just firing at you, and then, you know, a baton stormtrooper and then a shielded stormtrooper and, you know, whatever. Sometimes it's, even though it's easy to dispatch the droney stormtroopers, sometimes it's better to keep them alive until the end so you could deflect blasters at the other ones. And there's a lot of things like that that happen throughout the game where you're like, the battle droids can be taken out easily, so the temptation is to just take them out first. But they're doing very little damage to you, and they're helping with crowd control on everybody else when you deflect their blaster shots. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a really interesting integration of the universe into that.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell from your silence that I'm way above your heads at this point.
No.
So, yeah, no, I love that part, too.
You guys thinking about this all day?
All day.
You wake up going, I could just take the blaster shots.
It changes the way you play. Like, it means that many different people can play the game in many different ways, which I think is a attribute of from great to, or good to great games. Like,
yes.
I think that's like, they give you a bit of a sandbox with some tools, and they're like, here, go for it. I mean, Zelda being a premium example of that concept. But I think it is kind of the high mark of a like a premium gaming experience, and Star Wars, of course, deeply tied to video games, especially kind of during the dark times, where it was like the games were really the only thing we could rely on to kind of substantially tell us a Star Wars story, other than the novels and the books like that. But I mean, as far as the technological experience goes, I think it's cool to see them actually pushing it a little bit. Again,
well, your imagination is one thing in a novel versus seeing the Force in a game or being able to try to use the Force in a game kind of helps you along in that path.
We're a far cry from Dash Rendar just bounding off cliffs and shows.
Oh, the frustrations.
I think this will be probably the first of several Jedi Survivor episodes of the pod, you know, knowing that Ryan, you likely will finish pretty quickly, and then we will try to join you.
Well,
so
Zelda
we can
comes out on Friday, guys.
So you're going to be putting Jedi Survivors.
Yeah, I know. That's why I need to, this weekend, I got to do some work.
See if I don't finish it by then, I'll never finish it.
Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the pod. We'll come back. More Jedi Survivor, Star Wars Visions. There's also the Jedi Younglings show, I think, which is not about Order 66, thankfully. That would be a very difficult show to
Worth
watch
mentioning, I also saw the Star Wars Simpsons little short they did. I got to tell you what, sometimes they're kind of like, all right. Yeah. This one was pretty fun. I recommend it.
My favorite was the Mon Mothma and me joke. That was pretty funny. I was like, that is lovely.
Yeah. Stick around to the end. The little like frames they do at the credits were pretty cool. Funny too. So
it made me think that if I was a kid and I saw that frame of Homer in the Mandalorian outfit,
I would
absolutely be like, get me a small poster of that for my room because it was just so funny to me.
100%.
That is going to do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Catch us next time for more Jedi Survivor.
And stick around for the playthrough of Jedi Fallen Order. Annie?